Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to be reading from verse 13 to verse 29. Last of our sermons on sanctification. And this comes from the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus has been talking a lot about sanctification, the holiness of our life. And here he gives us his final thoughts on the Sermon on the Mount, but also the lifestyle of the disciples. So let's begin in verse 13 and hear what Jesus says to us this morning. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down, thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruits, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the ones who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had been on the foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. And when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority, not as their teachers of the law. Let's pray and ask God to bless his word. Our Heavenly Father, your word does not go out and accomplish nothing. We ask this morning that it will accomplish its work in our heart. We ask that you will help us to see what it means to be a Christian in this world and to bear good fruit. Hear our prayer this morning. Amen. Well, we've come to the end of this series on sanctification, and I think it's important today that we talk about this, because one of the weaknesses in the church is that there is not a high level of sanctification. That is not new to this generation. You can go back early 1900s and preachers were saying the same thing. Reason is, it is easy to become a Christian in the sense that you know and intellectually comprehend the teachings, but it's quite another thing to live out those implications. On the one hand, also, the left in the church, they've, to me, just given up on a lot of the basic teachings about sexuality. And on the right, at times we don't think it's very important because we're, quote, good Christian people. But what happens is we often act like hypocrites, in which our actions do not match up to what they should be. And that's why people say we're hypocrites. And at times, I hate to admit it, they're right. But it shouldn't be that way. And so what I want to look at this morning is what we call good deeds. You and I are called not to do evil in this world, not to do bad deeds, but we are called to do good deeds. And if the Holy Spirit is at work in your life, if you are truly saved, this will be as natural to you as breathing. Now, I'm not going to say at times it's going to be easy. Sometimes doing good is hard, but it should be the desires of our heart. And listen to what the Westminster Catechism says, if you think I've just come up with this off the top of my head. No, here's what it says. These good works done in obedience to God's commands are the fruit and evidence of a true living faith. It later goes on to say it is a way that we show thankfulness to God. In other words, a saved life is a changed life. Change in which you want to do the good deeds of Jesus Christ in this world out of a sense of thankfulness to God. And here is what Jesus is bringing out in the Sermon on the Mount. Now, what's he been talking about? Christian ethics, how we're to live and believe. And he is refuting in the Sermon on the Mount the hypocritical behavior of the Pharisees, in which their supposed good works were only about them. It was not about the kingdom of God. It was done for selfish reasons. So they would go out and pray, but they'd make a show of it. They would do good deeds like giving, but they would make a show of it. It wasn't for God. It was for them. But what we are called to do is to practice the fruit of the faith. Good works. That is part of the sanctification process. And believe me, that's a choice you got to make. Now, one time, years and years ago, we lived in Alabama. I had a friend who was a vet. Name was Lynn Hager. And we went to the Sipsey Wildlife Area on a day hike. And we came to this beautiful setting. There was a pond and the trail was split. And I remember Lynn saying to me, "We're not lost, but I don't know where we are on the map." Now, we had come to the point where we had to make a choice. The choice of one side of the trail or the other. One way or another. But we had to choose. Well, Christ, fortunately, is giving us the map in these last sections on the Sermon on the Mount. And what you and I have got to think about is this. We are to practice kingdom behavior. In other words, the fruit of the Spirit, those good deeds of the faith. And as we look at this, you and I all need to keep in mind you are part of the kingdom of God if you profess Christ as your Savior. And you are going to act as becomes one who is a member of that kingdom. Now, for example, if you go overseas, the French act like Frenchmen. Italians like Italians. And when Americans are overseas, what do? We act like Americans. You go to the McDonald's overseas, you want that coffee our way, not their way. Same is true of Christians. And part of our lifestyle, our characteristic, is the fruit of the faith. And look at what the text says here in verses 15 and following. Watch out for those false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Now, in the Bible, fruit is mentioned well over 200 times. Sometimes fruit refers to what the fields produce. God blesses the fields, they produce good fruit. And there is good fruit and there's bad fruit. You go back to the Garden of Eden, they're given a choice. Adam and Eve, you can eat the fruit of the trees, which we tell you, but not that other fruit which will lead to death. And as it goes on in the Bible, fruit becomes a metaphorical way of describing our behavior. So, for example, you could turn to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 31, and it says this: since they would not accept my advice and spurned my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. That's what happens when a person does not listen to wisdom. And we could go on into Jeremiah 17, where in the Old Testament it says this: but blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water. It sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. The Bible uses that term in a way that describes your deeds. Fruit. And here, he's telling us that the true Christian is the one who bears good fruit. Now, you got these false prophets. They're out there, and you can tell they're false prophets by their lifestyle, because it does not result in good deeds. It doesn't result in good fruit. Instead, it results in bad fruit. What do you do in the morning if you go to your refrigerator and you want that banana and it's all brown? Toss it. What happens when you bite into that apple and it's rotten? Toss it. It's bad fruit. Now, on the other hand, if that banana is nice and ripe, you want it. If that apple is firm and red, you want it. Look at what it says in verse 20. Thus, by their fruits, you will recognize them. And before that, he says, a good tree produces good fruit. Bad tree, bad fruit. What kind of fruit are you producing? What are your works like? What are your good deeds like? Also, keep in mind here in verse 21, even if you do altruistic things, such as miracles, it may not be good enough. Notice what he says here. Not everyone who says to me, verse 21, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. But they did miracles. But they prophesied. Jesus says, I don't know you. Why? Because while they may have done these miraculous, great things, they may have been great teachers, their deeds were evil. They did not produce good works. There was no fruit of the faith. These people maybe just had an intellectual understanding, but their lives were no different. And notice they're coming in before the Lord very piously. Lord, Lord. Didn't we do X, Y, and Z? Jesus says, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. They were simply self-serving. And many people become religious only because they're interested in themselves. What's the principle here? The principle that Jesus is teaching is that you have to live as a citizen of the kingdom of God. And one of our attributes is that we produce fruit, or you could say good works or good deeds. Used to be, we used to think that church membership was just good enough. And many churches have had the pews with the nameplates on the side. We still do, but that doesn't save you. You can go to the great theological schools. It won't save you. There has to be salvation and exchanged life. Remember the words of James. In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by actions, is dead. You don't want dead faith. No, works don't save you. Only Jesus does. I'm not saying it's going to save you. Your good works will save you. No. But what I am saying, it is the outworking of your faith, if it's true and real. Now, years and years ago, when Jimmy Johnson was coach of the Dallas Cowboys and they were in the NFC Championships and they won, in that locker room where they were celebrating, Jimmy Johnson said, "If you talk the talk, you got to walk the walk." Same for the Christian. Or are we all hat, no cowboy? Which is it? Which is it? You know, and think about what the world dislikes about Christianity and religion in general, too. For example, years and years ago, there was a headline, well, it was an article, really, about something happened, and it was between the two Muslim sects, Sunni and Shiite. And they don't like each other. But in one of their prayer times at the synagogues, one group shot up the other. Now, what's the reaction of the world? Hypocrites. Why believe in religion? There's no good deeds there, just evil deeds. What the world wants to see from you is the good deeds. Now, a couple weeks ago, I took our big dog Winston to the vet. And as I'm sitting there waiting, there was a priest in the kitty cat line. I got to tell you, that guy was something else. He was rude. He was demanding. He wasn't nice. And I remember one of the receptionists saying, "Can you believe he's a priest?" See what I'm saying? If he came in there and he would have been nice, he would have said, "How can I help you?" If he would have shown some of the fruit of the Spirit, totally different. But I want you to notice that reception that a man of God gave off for his behavior. This tells us about our character as Christians. What drives us is that you and I represent God. And if you look back through the Bible, God has done an awful lot of good for humanity. Yes, he's had his times of judgment, but it also says in the Bible that he is very patient with us. He gives us a lot of good. You and I need to be the representatives of him. And we're either going to be good advertisement for God or we're going to be bad advertisement from God. We've got to show the good deeds to those within the church and those without a church. Not like the Pharisees, who are only interested in themselves. And for you, that means practicing what's called the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. For those in the church, we've got to love each other. If we hate each other, bad advertisement for the kingdom of God. How do we do that? We've got to help each other out. Some of you have done that by helping some of the sick members, like Ray, the lunches we provide for those whose families have died. That is the good deeds. And also, if there are people outside the church that we know who may need help, we practice the good deeds of love, and we do it joyfully, and we're patient, and we're kind, and we're all those things to each other. Back when I was in seminary, we didn't have enough money to pay the bills. And I was getting nasty notes about how I was going to get kicked out. And we weren't eating real well either. That is where I grew a distaste of fish sticks. You see, all we ate was fish sticks, spinach, and potatoes. It was around Christmas time. knock on the door. Guess what happened? People from First Presbyterian Church in Jackson, Mississippi, dropped off groceries and enough money to pay the tuition bill. Did they have to do it? Did they know me? No. But they did it. That's good deeds. That's what the world needs to hear. Now, just saying, you're a Christian without those good deeds, it's like a garden that's full of weeds. You don't want that. And the world will say, it doesn't matter. The world will say, we don't need to be disciples. That religion is private. And it's just this nice, quaint little feeling you have in here. It's public. Because you are actively helping people in the church and without the church. You live by those kingdom values. It's kingdom behavior. But I also want you to notice something else here. The kingdom beliefs. Action, yes. But there's something you and I have got to keep in our minds as well. Look at verses 13 and 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. In Jerusalem, 12 gates. Now, those were pretty big gates. Had to be two-way traffic. You know, you had people coming in, going out. Goods had to come in. Goods had to go out. All those animals. But at night, those gates were closed. Now, there were still entrances to the city. You had smaller gates in which there was a guard who could check you out. Only one person could go through those gates. And the guard could see if you're a good person or a bad person. Well, that's what Jesus is saying here. He's talking about maybe one of those gates in Jerusalem that was small and not everyone could go through it. What Jesus is saying, the kingdom of God is like that. Salvation is ultimately narrow. The world says, let's be broad and inclusive. Do you realize Jesus doesn't say that? Not at all. Salvation is not determined by a majority vote. We don't count truth by noses. And again, in verse 15, he goes on right after that, watch out for those false prophets. He's saying there are some who may look like they are good, but they're not. But they're not on the true road. The kingdom of God and its lifestyle is narrow. It is not broad. And I tell you that for a number of reasons. First of all, there is the intellectual component. If you start going away saying, I believe only in Jesus Christ for your salvation, a lot of people are going to look at you like you're stupid. How can you believe that? What about all these other world religions? There were other world religions back then. Never mind, the disciples believed one way. Never mind, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No, there's only one way. But here's the other aspect, which I think we've got to conclude from looking at this. It's the lifestyle. To say that you are to live a life in which you are doing good and sacrificing of yourself to help others, whether it is in this church or some other place, they're going to look at you like you're crazy. I remember one time the census people came around and they had questions to ask of Jan and me. And one of the questions was, well, how much money do you give to charity? And we said, well, we tithe to the church. We didn't know, I think, what a tithe was. 10%. You give that much away? Yes. Now, I don't know if I was in this church meeting at one of the churches I was at or I heard about it, but
part of what we do as a session is we look at people and we try to figure out if they have a credible profession of faith. And also other things come up like beliefs or lifestyle. And you know what happened one time? People asked me, or whoever was doing the interview, "Do you believe in tithing?" "Yes." And there were other issues about doing good deeds and helping out. And they're going, "Well, I don't know about that." See that attitude? Living the lifestyle was not what they wanted. Jesus says it's narrow. Sanctification narrows it quite a bit. But that is what it means to be a disciple. And so when we think of sanctification, yes, it is to be holy as God is holy. Yes, it is going to be a battle, as Paul says in Romans 7. Yes, it is something we work out over our lives with the help of God. But sanctification also means that we have fruit. And we do those good deeds because we are holy. And holy means we're different than the rest of the world. And believe me, there's a lot of bad fruit out there from bad people. It seems like the older I get, the more aware of how bad it is. But in the community of Christ, we walk the narrow way. But it's the right way. It is bringing pleasure to God's heart. Let's pray. Our great and awesome God, how thankful we are to be part of your eternal kingdom. And now, our God, work in us so that we bear the good fruit of good deeds. May we trust in you and obey you. Throughout our days, and in fact, every day, may we grow in faith and love. Hear our prayer. Amen.